I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, was with us a little earlier. He's getting ready for the broadcast, though, down in Houston. He and Jesse have the call shortly after 5 o'clock this evening. Ryan Gusto, a rookie right-hander making his second career start, pitches for the Astros against baseball's best hitting team. Yes, the Padres, with the .276 team batting average, number one in baseball. By the way, Padres also have the second best team ERA in all of baseball, 2.56. Who do you think's ahead of them? Who's got a better ERA than the Padres so far? Only one team, obviously.
That's a fantastic question.
You want to take a shot at it here? I don't know if it'll come to you. They're 12-7 is their record, so they're having a nice season.
It's not the Cubs.
It's not the Cubs. That if they were ahead of them, they would be behind now after that game today at Wrigley.
Is it? I'm not going to get it.
The Mets.
I would never have gotten
it. The Metropolitans have a 2.30 ERA, Padres 2.56. Cubs and Diamondbacks played earlier today at Wrigley. One of the crazy games you'll ever see, and that's even saying something for Wrigley Field. Cubs led 2-1 after six innings. Cubs scored 5 in the seventh to take a 7-1 lead. Diamondbacks scored 10 in the eighth to take an 11-7 lead. Cubs came right back with 6, and they won 13-11. Again, no confirmation yet, or maybe ever, on whether or not this is the first time a team's ever scored 10 runs in an inning and still lost the game.
I have been receiving messages.
But
people are trying to. There's no official one. It's like Google AI, and sometimes that's wrong.
Right.
Well, and I would never bring false information to the show, Chris.
I appreciate that.
Knowingly.
Something I always appreciate about you. Double check everything you say. I think somebody like Elias Sportsbeer, somebody will have that stat at some point today. I just haven't seen it yet.
I'm gonna stalk Jason Stark's account because
he's the kind of guy that would know that.
Yeah,
very good. All right, we are going to hear a little now from the manager of baseball's
Daily Gambit.
No, bottom of the hour or next segment. I thought for Daily Gambit, unless we have something in that segment.
No.
You want to do Gambit now and then?
Well,
Schilt?
We always do Gambit. At 3 p.m. every day.
Then we shall.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. And I would like to apologize, Chris, for the tone that I just had with him. I've been talking to my therapist this week, Chris, and I feel like I need to be nicer to you. So I'm going to be nicer, and I apologize for that.
Who is your therapist?
I'm not going to give her name out.
It's the same one that works with Rory McIlroy's confidence.
I also talked to her about that.
You did, huh?
Yeah, she didn't have. She felt the way I felt.
All right.
Therapists are people too, Chris. They need therapy just like everybody else.
I love therapists. They've been very helpful to me in my life.
Yes, but I am trying to work on being nicer and not saying mean things. So I'm going to do that. All right. We didn't have any bets to review, so we're just going to make bets tonight. Is that right, Chris?
That's right. And we're going to start with the NBA play-in games. The Miami Heat, who unceremoniously sent my Bulls home the other night, will go to Atlanta tonight. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home. Heat is favored by 1 on the road. Find that a little surprising. Hawks will be the home team. Heat are favored. I'll start. And the Miami team I saw the other night will win this game.
Real question. Is Trae Young suspended for getting ejected?
No, not at all.
All right, I'm going to go Heat anyway.
You're going to take Miami also. Miami has the experience of the playoffs. Hero, Bam Adebayo, Wiggins. You know, everybody talks about Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors, yeah. But Wiggins came to Miami, and he looked good the other night. All right, the second play-in game tonight, Memphis at home, -6 over Dallas. Dallas surprised Sacramento the other night. Memphis should have beaten Golden State, maybe, but the ref said that they screwed up a call at the end of the game. And we were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. Like, really? You're going to tell everybody that you basically cost Memphis the game?
Yeah. That is, I think they should stop doing that.
Stop just, doing that.
It just creates anger. You're creating anger is what you're doing.
And you're creating a situation where people who might have bet $100K on that game are not going to be too happy to hear that they lost because you messed up.
And I will always say, once you put that money down, it's your fault if you lose your money.
Oh, I say that too, but people who lose money don't think that
No,
way.
They do not. They try to get revenge somehow.
Right. All right, what do you got? Memphis -6. Tough one.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to go... I mean, Dallas fans hate their own team.
Right.
I'm going to go Memphis.
It's in Memphis, so the Dallas fans won't have any say in this. But
okay.
I'm going to take Dallas just because I'm kind of rooting for Anthony Davis, and I'm rooting for Nico Harrison to get some relief. Which of the two games will there be more points scored? Simple. The Miami-Atlanta game or the Memphis-Dallas game? They both have the exact same over-under number. So which game will score more points? I will take Memphis-Dallas.
That does seem like a high-scoring game.
Seems like the Heat might play a little defense, but the Hawks don't play any. So that could be interesting.
I'm going to go with the Heat and the Hawks because the Hawks don't play any
defense. They don't. They don't bother. Tomorrow, Clippers open up a really exciting, I think, good matchup series against Denver. In Denver, Nuggets are 2.5-point favorites in game one over the Clip Joint. What do you like here?
Denver fired the coach, right?
They did.
I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Everybody, like you get the one tweet, everybody's saying the Clippers are the team that might be able to make a run.
They're the hot run team?
They're kind of the hot team right now. I'm going to take the Clippers, +2.5. Tomorrow evening, Lakers, game one, hosting Minnesota. Lakers by 4 in game one. Tony's not here, so I can get away with taking Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I love the Ant-Man. I just can't help it. Don't really like Gobert all that much. I don't like the trade for Randall. But
Gobert started COVID, so that's why.
He did. Who do you like here? Lakers at home, only giving 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lakers.
Lakers, he says. Tonight, pretty good pitching matchup in Texas. Dodgers, Rangers, the last two World Series champs, go head-to-head. Dodgers are favored on the road by 1.5 runs. Yamamoto versus DeGrom. What do you like here? I was going to say both teams are in first place, but they're not. The Dodgers
That's right.
are not in first place.
That's right.
The Rangers are, but not the Dodgers.
You know... I don't know. I'm going to just go Rangers because they're at home.
Did you want to have like a NW? No wager?
No. I'll take Rangers. Trying to have them beat the Dodgers.
I'm going to believe in DeGrom tonight. I'll take the Rangers also. Padres, Astros, 9 runs over under tonight. You
over
got
under
two really rookie pitchers. I mean, Kyle Hart's far from a rookie age-wise. But he's a rookie experience-wise. So I say they were tonight. Two young pitchers. Over 9. 9's a lot. What do you think, Scott?
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under. Like with a 4-3 game.
Okay. And our last wager includes this trivia question. What pitcher leads Major League Baseball right now in strikeouts?
I just looked at this yesterday.
You did, huh?
Well, I don't remember the name.
You should have an idea.
I don't remember. Is it Crochet?
It is not. This pitcher who leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts is pitching tonight And his over-under is 7.5 Ks. His name is Cole Ragans.
Ah.
Pitches for the Royals. I bet you not too many people know that name.
I actually picked him as my Cy Young for AL Central.
Well, there was a good pick, potentially. He's in Detroit tonight against the Tigers.
Tigers.
7.5 Ks for Ragans. What do you think?
I'm going to go over.
He's had 10-plus in each of his last three starts. To very little fanfare.
Yes.
Right?
Very little fanfare.
Yeah. Like if DeGrom did that, it would be on the headline somewhere.
Don't even
Corbin
start.
Burns or
don't even start. If one of the Dodgers
like
did it.
Oh, goodness.
We would never hear the end of it.
I'll take under. I like the Tigers at home. All right. That's it. I come into the day 7-6 for the week. You're 6-7, so it'll all be determined by tonight's wagers. All right, we have Mike Schilt, who is on with the morning show. You know the morning show. That's the one with Ben and Woods.
Yes.
Pretty good show, I hear.
I love it. I
highly recommend it.
I know that Woods has an issue with me and a bobblehead, so I get...
You stole his bobblehead.
I did not steal the bobblehead. I get texts in the morning, did you steal Woods' bobblehead? I'm like, what the heck?
You did. It was right on his desk in his spot. And you walked over on your way out last night and took it home with you?
No, I left it here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I left it here. He's talking about the Jackson Merrill bobblehead, which was given to me by our boss, Adam Klug. I asked. I said, does anyone else want it? Am I okay taking this home? Adam says, make sure they can promote it. And then you can take it home. So that's what I did.
Woods, he stole your bobblehead. We got to get to break
not.
Before he can answer. It's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Here's some traffic.
Traffic's not
maybe.
Ready, unfortunately.
Soon you'll get traffic.
It'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Those of you on the YouTube chat just got to see Scraby jump out of a plane. You've done that more than once?
Twice.
That was your brother who was your tandem jumping with you.
Yes, he was my instructor.
And he thought it was hilarious that you hang on the side of the airplane for a while looking down before he allowed you to jump.
He knows that I don't
Thanks, brother.
He knows that I don't like heights.
Who would like heights from there?
Well, the difference is that you know you're safe because you have a parachute. So it's not like I'm hanging out of the plane with no parachute.
You know you got the parachute, but it's still
I'm telling
got
you,
to be quite the thrill.
A skydiving accident is less likely than you think.
Didn't say it was likely. Just say that I wouldn't want to be sitting on an edge of an airplane looking down at the ground, which is more than a mile or so away.
My 75-year-old grandpa did it, Chris.
And kudos to him, because I will not be joining you guys on that. We had a historical baseball game played earlier today, and we've been madly doing all this research, you know, behind the scenes here, trying to find out how to put it into historical perspective, and we have come up with some. The Cubs at Wrigley beat the Diamondbacks today 13-11. What was historical, the fact that the Diamondbacks scored 10 runs in the top of the eighth inning to take the lead, only to see the Cubs come back with six in the bottom of the eighth and win the game. The 16-run inning combined was the fifth time that's ever happened since, what was it, 1905 or something? I mean, this in 100 years, you haven't had an inning like that with that many runs scored. But what we were wondering was, has any team ever scored 10 in an inning and still lost? And the answer is yes. 1989, Kansas City Royals put 10 on the board in the first inning against the then Cleveland Indians. The Indians came back and won 15-13. Aaron Boone clubbed a home run in that game for the Tribe. Current Yankee manager. It had also happened in 1989. The Pittsburgh Pirates put 10 on the board, and lost to the Phillies. But still pretty historical thing today. You don't see it hardly ever, if ever.
And it worked for the Padres, so.
It helped the Padres a little bit because the Diamondbacks lost. Yes, that's right. Padres played the Astros tonight, kicking off a series. To that end, earlier today, Ben and Woods talked with Padres manager Mike Schilt on the manager's report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Here are some of the things that Mr. Schilt let us in on. Number one, I think this is a pretty good question, actually, from Ben and Woods.
Well, they were trying to find in the roundtable something to, like, criticize, but there's nothing to criticize.
There's nothing to criticize. So what they said is, with everything 15-4, they asked Mike Schilt, is there anything you'd like to improve on?
You know, it's a game of a lot of moving pieces that we all know. And, you know, yeah, we have taken advantage of our time together over the last year plus, including spring training and, you know, continuity with, you know, a staff and players that breeds consistency. So, yeah, there's, you know, we always want to improve. It's a, you know, growth mindset. It's competition. There's always an area for something to be better. But, you know, as we continue to move this forward together, we do expect there to be some areas that, you know, are really, really showing up that are buttoned up. And I think that's taking place.
I can't tell you how much more convinced I am every single day that the mindset of this team is everything to this team.
It's like, not everything. You've got to have the ability to do
accomplish things. I'm saying, like, to go through a long season and to understand where you're at as a team and what you need to do as a team and how you're going to do it together is very important.
It is. I also think other teams feel like they have the same thing, but they're just not having the same success yet.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's something that is alone for the Padres.
I agree.
But I also think, you know, Mike Schilt and this staff, again, coming back, Ruben, Victor, all the other guys beneath them, you know, I think has had a lot to do with this fast start because they've been able to just pick up where they left off and carry right over.
Was it you saying this the other day? I can't remember which one on the station said this, but they were talking about how, oh, it was during the roundtable, and Ben was saying when Ruben Niebla goes out to talk to a guy, he knows that guy. He knows what to say to that guy. They're not trying to find out how to deal with each other. They're not trying to figure out what words work and what don't. Like, he knows. He goes out there, he says his piece, and then he comes off, and then that guy usually gets the third out, and they come into the dugout.
That does seem to work more times than not. I think Ruben Niebla does one thing better than a lot of coaches. He listens. He meets somebody like, let's say, Nick Pivetta, sits down to talk pitching with Nick Pivetta, and he listens.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, he gains knowledge of how to deal with Nick Pivetta.
Puts him in the best spot.
That's why Niebla has been good. All right, Astros coming up tonight. What does Mike Schilt expect from the Houstonians?
Expected more of the same. We're not as familiar with Houston, but, you know, we do have really, really good advanced scouting. The guys do a great job with that. You know, we have, you know, one of the few clubs that have really good baseball guys that go out and watch teams and use their eyes. And, you know, they also use the information that's available now that's also beneficial, and we use the information as well in tendencies and different things along those lines. But we do our part being, you know, our preparation work, our staff really, really dedicated to the prep work, video, ton of video and research. And then, you know, day will be spent with a lot of meetings to collaborate it all and make sure we're bringing simple and actionable things to our players. And then we'll go play baseball and look to compete and shake hands.
I like that.
Actionable.
Yeah, you want to shake hands.
Oh, yeah.
That means you won.
You won, yeah.
Yeah, you don't shake hands on a loss. I would like, here's one of my little things. I don't think it's going to happen. I would like to get a hold of one of the cards, the index cards, that every fielder now carries out with them to the field. Like, you know, let's just say Fernando in right field.
Yeah.
If you notice, before every batter of the game comes up, pretty much.
Yeah.
He gets his card out.
It's either in his hat or pocket.
Or wherever. Yeah. Looks at it. And that tells him where to position himself for that batter. I'd just like to see what one of those things looks like.
And like you said, I don't know what's on there. Give it to us.
You don't think we'll ever, I mean, wouldn't, it's like a a football player leaving a playbook behind.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
Do you remember? I can't.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't lose one of those index cards.
Was it a pro team that the catcher lost their pitch sheet on their arm and the other team picked it up and then gave it back to the team without using it because they didn't want to cheat?
Well, either that or they wrote it all down.
That's
and then
true.
Gave it back
they
to
could
them
have taken a quick
to
picture
make it look
of it,
good.
But yeah, they're like, "Hey, here's your thing. We definitely didn't look at this.
Can't even tell you what's on it.
Yeah,
but just want to give it back to you.
I can't even tell you what's on it."
All right. Last thing, we've talked about this. It's got to be the only remote negative that you can think of for the Padres right now, and that's the injuries, especially the one to Jackson. I mean, this is a crucial guy that you do have to get back. And you'd like it to be sooner rather than later. Where does the health update stand?
You know what? He's improving. So, I mean, hamstrings, you know, any soft tissue stuff can be, you know, very finicky.
Yeah.
So we got to be very careful. You know, but he's, and to your point, yeah, he's definitely, you know, got his eye black on, ready to go and hungry to go compete. But, you know, right now he's got his focus channeled in areas he can do something about, and that's his rehab. And that so he's you know, getting to a point where he's doing some light jogging and start to get some strength back and do some things in the weight room. And we're also put together a plan for him and Lockridge and Crony, that, you know, whatever guys can do from a baseball standpoint, whether it's bunting, tracking, throwing, whatever they're able to do, they're doing in appropriate fashion. So when they get back, they're both mentally and physically ready to compete.
Okay. So Jackson's not on the road trip. So you know he's not going to play tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Not going to play Monday, Tuesday.
Well,
not going
to
play
Wednesday. Well, I mean, they could fly him out if they really wanted
Correct.
To.
Correct. But he's not going to. Here's my question to you. In the moment we have left before the break, do you think he'll be in the lineup next Friday night when the Padres host Tampa Bay?
If he's not, we're in. I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say it.
I tongue-tied you.
If he's not, it's going to be a problem.
I think it's going to be a problem because I don't think he'll be.
I think he will be.
Based on what I'm hearing, I'm expecting him not to be.
I think he will be. I think this is just a precautionary, let's make sure everything's fine.
The whole thing's been precautionary.
I'm fine with it until the next time he's available to come back and they're like, nope.
It's precautionary. Well, then let's get him uncautionary.
Hey, I'm happy with it happening in the first month of the season.
Yes, 15-4 makes it feel all better. Gwen and Chris, ahead of the ball game tonight and a big five next. And then Monday, Detroit is next for the Friars. Tigers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon next week. We will have very short shows, short segments, Monday and Tuesday, because the game comes on so early that we don't get much of a show next week, Scrape.
I know.
I know you're heartbroken. You don't seem to be. One last note from the...
That was a creepy laugh I just had, by the way.
Creepy Creeperton. One last note from the Cub Diamondback today.
You love this game.
I do, because a lot of crazy things happen. 16 runs were scored in the eighth inning, the highest scoring inning in the history of Wrigley Field. Diamondback scored 10, Cubs got 6.
Now that is cool, because Wrigley Field's been around forever.
And they've had some crazy wild games.
Yeah.
You don't remember the game between the Phillies and the Cubs from the late 70s.
Oh, I was there.
No, you were not. The final score was 23-22. That was a game.
I kind of want to see a game like that.
Well, they show it on Major League Baseball Network
once in a while.
Right. Yeah. It was one of the wild ones.
That's how we
of
thought the Mexico time. City games were going to go, but
yeah,
only one of them
much.
Did that.
Not
way.
Quite that much.
Went that way.
All right, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado, La Jolla. Dining takeout options, spiroscuisine.com. I really could use some traffic.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a little bit of time to stretch our legs, Chris, so if you would like to take long answers, you can.
Dumb thing to say.
Why? Because we
because,
will?
Because, you know, now the first answer will be like a half an hour, and then we won't have time.
That's true. That's
it's kind of like, to me, that's kind of like a professor giving you 2 months to write a paper.
Oh, I always did it the night before.
But I'm just saying, they give you that time, you go home, and you're like, ah, I got 2 months, I'm not going to do anything tonight. Or tomorrow, or
actually,
the next day. Yeah, you're right. And then the day before, you write the paper.
I would actually go home, and I would be like, you know what? I'm going to get this out of the way. I write like a paragraph, and then I don't touch it again for a month and a half.
Yeah, don't give me 2 months. Just give me. Tell me to get it done.
Yes.
So it doesn't hang over my head.
Let's get in. Yeah, exactly. Let's get into
number five.
And then a teacher, side note, and then a professor tells you that you... didn't do a great job on your homework and you smell like alcohol. Oh, wait, that's me. That's me. That's what was said to
that
me.
That happened
Chris.
To you, yes.
Yes. They're like, did you stay up all night drinking to write this paper? And I said, no. Anyway.
I was drinking. I just didn't stay up all night.
Yeah, exactly. I passed out at some point.
Right.
So I was talking to a listener yesterday, or 2 days ago, and they were asking for us, Chris, as a show, to talk more SDFC. And I got back, and I went into a back and forth with them. It was very enlightening, actually.
Okay.
And I just got a few opinions from them. So I told them I would ask this Big Five question. What will it take for SDFC to be talked about like the Padres on our show?
Like the Padres?
I told them that was a tough thing because the Padres are always going to be number one.
They're going to be for the foreseeable future. I would say this. What it's going to take... I'm answering your question, okay, is for the MLS season to be late in the year to where you're starting to get some sort of hint of a playoff coming up.
True.
Because remember, the MLS season is only a month old, and it's going till November. So it's, you know.
It's a long, and they're only
really,
playing 1 week.
Really long. One game a week, it doesn't stay top of mind. One match, right. So what I was going to take is for it to be September, October, the Padres are out of it, having a bad year, and SDFC is, you know,
winning,
doing something historical.
Going towards a playoff spot.
Right. Otherwise, I don't think you're going to see SDFC pass the Padres in terms of interest in this town. Pretty hard for anything to come in the first year and beat out a franchise that's been here for 60 years. It's just, it's really not realistic. I don't think.
And this is what I told the person is like, most people, we're trying to talk about something that most people want to listen to, not what certain people want to listen to, and talking SDFC like it's the Padres would make people tune out because not everyone is a huge SDFC fan, but a lot of people are Padres fans.
Let's also say this: if we went to a show that opened with SDFC and focused around SDFC,
it wouldn't be as popular because there's not as many... Sorry, I put words in your mouth.
Yes, you are. What I was going to say is I would run out of things to say pretty soon. I can watch a match, and I have, and I've enjoyed them, and I've been rooting for this team. And when I don't have to pay extra to get past the Apple TV paywall... You know, I'm more than willing to be a, you know, get my soccer thing. I've been to a match. You and I went. I don't know enough to say that much. I you know.
It's hard to break it down.
It's a nice pass. It was a good looking tackle on the play. And
incredible.
Yeah. Where was the yellow card when we needed one? I don't, you know. There's only so many things. I'm being honest about it. There are crazy soccer podcasts out there that I'm sure can break down those matches, you know, everything you ever wanted to know. There's but I agree with you in the end. I don't think enough people want to know that much.
There's we a soccer podcaster.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a soccer podcaster out there. Two Balls, One Mic. That's what their soccer podcast is called. Tony Sanchez. He's a great guy.
All right. Well, listen to that.
Yeah.
And listen to our show for sure on Thursdays when we have the MLS broadcasters on from Apple TV, because I have really enjoyed every one of those interviews. And I'm, you know, looking forward now to the match tomorrow. Because we got SDFC, which wants to score and push the pace and try to create offense, against Charlotte, which doesn't really care if anybody ever scores and just wants to sit back and wait for you to make a mistake. So I think it's an interesting setup tomorrow, and I hope that our guys come out on top.
You know, I just want to say to the listeners who want us to talk more soccer, we hear you. We'll fit it in when we can.
I think we're doing okay. It is really still early in the season. Even the gentleman on yesterday.
Tony Husband
said, look, soccer's such a long year that you shouldn't even start thinking about it really till 10, 12, 15 games in. I mean, that was him.
Yeah.
That's who's the soccer guy.
Yes.
So let it breathe. I think we're doing well. The attendance, the excitement, the enthusiasm, all off to a really good start. And we will follow along with that as it continues to grow.
All right. Number four. New York Yankees second baseman Jazz Chisholm was ejected from last night's 6-3 victory against the Rays after disagreeing with a strikeout call from home plate umpire John Bacon. Chisholm, or whoever manages his social media account, didn't wait long afterward to air his frustration on social media, tweeting out, "Not even freaking close!" about 5 minutes after being sent to the showers. He later deleted that message, Chris. And if you can imagine, he did get in trouble for this by Major League Baseball. MLB announced today that he has been suspended for one game and fined for violating the league's social media policy for players. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said Chisholm was appealing the decision and would be in the lineup Friday night for the Yankees game against the Rays. So he'll have to serve that suspension one other game. I'm up first. Should he be suspended one game? Answer's no. I am so tired of these umpires getting so angry about someone calling them out for something.
Did the umpire get angry here, or did Major League Baseball get angry here?
Major League Baseball did, but the umpires hide behind Major League Baseball. I don't think that guys should go to social media and complain about everything, but when Jazz goes to social media after watching the pitch knowing that he was right, Jazz was right, that's fine. Not even close is not that big of a deal to me. And I understand you're opening up it's a slippery slope because now everybody can criticize the umpires. But the umpires don't have any answering to do. They go back to their little room and they move on. I don't understand it. I'm really against umpires lately for some reason.
I'll only say this. I saw the at-bat. First of all, the first pitch was a strike that was called a ball. So Jazz got a break. And then the umpire, I think, went for the old makeup call, and that's what got Jazz called out. The pitch didn't miss by that much, maybe 6 inches. But if baseball doesn't stand behind the people who officiate the sport, same as NBA, same as NFL, they've got to stand behind these guys. We've got to believe that we have people doing this job that are A, competent, and B, are on the up and up. They're not trying to slight anybody in any way. They've got to at least try to keep that appearance up. Whether you want to believe it or not, they have to do it. If they look, we just talked earlier about the NBA, which is, you know, coming out and saying they screwed up the end of the Memphis Golden State game.
Yeah.
Do you like that better? I don't know that that's better.
I just want some sort of accountability.
Well, the NBA is making these guys accountable. They're putting them out there in front of everybody to say they missed 4 calls at the end of that game.
And
baseball umpires are being way more accountable than ever because people have these StatCast things that show their performance the next day.
Yeah,
I don't know what you want. I think what you want is if an umpire misses a call and it's clear and it costs a guy a game or something, that the umpire should be able to be suspended for a game.
No, I don't even want that. I just think that they should have to stand up after games and talk about some of the calls that they made. What is it, just go down as a mystery forever?
I know, but if you're going to dummy me in a ball and a strike...
That's tough. I will give you that.
You want the guy to stand up after the game and say,
"No,
well, I thought it caught the knees. I'm sorry it missed by 4 inches.
I understand you cannot be doing ball strike conversations every single day. And also, I understand that you can't be tweeting during games. I'm not saying that players should be running back to the locker room and tweeting during a game.
It's not a good look. Happens. It's not a good look, and I think baseball's smart to try to stop it before it gets out of control. And, you know, when the umpire messed up the perfect game call on Galarraga several years ago, Jim Joyce, first thing he did is go answer questions after the game. He stood right up. So it's not every single umpire that hides behind this. But as I've said, calls are going to be missed. The good teams just deal with it. You have to. Just like things in your life are not going to always go the way they're supposed to. The smart and good people handle it. The losers in society complain about it and let it affect them. Sorry, life lesson.
Everybody hates me on the chat for that take.
They hate you.
Okay. I will admit that it wasn't the best take in the world. I'm not afraid to say that.
Okay.
But I don't like it how... umpires can decide games and then they can just hide in their little room.
But they're not really trying to decide the game. It's the very nature of what they do that a call, one way or the other, has the ability to decide a game. But I believe they're all doing their best, unless your name is Donahue.
The NBA referee that got caught cheating?
Yeah, he was the one.
Betting and all that stuff?
Right.
Next time I see Mike Winters in the box, the press box, do you think he's going to shun me because I've talked so bad upon umpires lately?
I think first he should punch you and then shun
Don't
you.
Don't punch me, Mike.
He wouldn't do that. He's too good of a guy.
I'm going to have a talk with him, though, and I'm going to ask him
about it.
I'm going to, because he's very open about talking about all this stuff.
He is, and he also has pretty good answers to most of it.
Okay. Number three.
I should stop looking into the chat because that was a...
Do your job,
That was an
Greg.
L for me, Chris.
That's okay. Look at the
The fastest
later.
Man in baseball is coming to George Steinbrenner Field. The Rays have selected outfielder Chandler Simpson from AAA Durham. Simpson is 24 years old. He stole 104 bases while leading the minor leagues with a .355 batting average in 110 games last season. After spending spring training with the Rays, he broke camp with AAA Durham, and he hit .301 with I'm not even going to do the math on that, with 8 stolen bases in 17 games. This was the guy that we did on the Big 5 a few weeks ago where he beat out a grounder to first base.
I remember it, yes.
So my question to you, Chris, is, and I hope you understand it.
Okay.
Is great speed at all levels?
Should be.
Okay.
There's two things you can't teach, as they say. You know, like coaching, right? You can work on certain skills and dribbling and passing and, you know, understanding. Can't teach height and you can't teach speed. I think people can get a little faster if they work at it. Not something you can just teach somebody. This guy's got incredible speed. The question will be, you know, can he get to first base? Because once he's there, he's going to be really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's faster than, you know, and they, you know, use him as a pinch runner. But for the most part, he'll stick in the big leagues if he can hit and get on. If he's hit .355, right, you said last year?
Yeah, so in 110 games.
If he can do that, he'll be a big leaguer for a while. Vince Coleman.
He stole 104 bases, Chris.
Well, guys crazy. Used to steal 100 bases. Vince Coleman did it many times. Ricky did it all the time. It's a different world now, but he could steal a bunch. I mean, what did De La Cruz get last year? 60? Seemed like he was on pace for 100 for a while, and then he just fell off.
It's hard to steal that many bases.
No, they don't want you to anymore. It's just the way it goes.
The only reason I think, because I do think great speed is great speed at all levels, but I was thinking maybe because, you know, arm strength and catcher play is much better at the major league level, that the speed may be somewhat counteracted.
I think you bring up a good point, and I should have mentioned it, but now that you say that, I will. In the minor leagues, you can probably steal some bases with a bad jump, just because you're so fast.
Yeah.
In the big leagues, you better learn how to get a good jump. Because if you don't, the ball's going to be waiting for you, no matter how fast you are.
You're going to be like Willie Mays Hayes coming up one inch short.
Right.
Of the base.
Wait, why is the ball here? Because you're now in the big leagues.
I'm excited to see this guy play, though. I want to see what
it'll
it's all
fun.
About.
It'll be fun.
Except for he's playing at a AAA ballpark, but that's
and he's playing for Tampa Bay, which we don't watch very often. Oh, they're coming here, though.
I was going to say, they are coming here next Friday.
Yeah, okay, we might get a chance to see him then. Good.
Number two.
The draft is next week, the NFL draft, and we're starting to get a list of people out there, Chris, who are going to be there, and a couple of people have backed out, including Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart, who's been widely projected as anywhere between a first and a third round selection. Georgia pass rusher Michael Williams is also out. Maxwell Hairston is going to be at the draft. Still among the omissions, though, no one knows if Shedeur Sanders is going to be in attendance.
I don't know. Can you have the draft if he doesn't arrive?
According to Dion, no.
God.
I mean, it's first.
All about this guy, is it not? I know you hate this, too.
I
you do, because it's all become a... Shedeur is bigger than the draft right now, and that shouldn't be, right?
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
How about a little respect for all the rest of the guys that have worked their whole lives to get to this level?
I get it. Yeah? I get it.
You know?
I don't... My question is this. Would you go to the draft if you were most likely going in the first round? I was going to do something easy.
Oh, okay.
But yes, the answer is yes, I would go because that's fun.
I
wouldn't want to sit there for 28 picks like Aaron Rodgers did and look
angry
the
entire time. If it was questionable, yes, it might be a different story. But yeah, I would go. I don't... You know, Shedeur is the big attraction. I could get it when Caitlin Clark was the big attraction. I could get it when Beckers was the big attraction. I don't see the same level of standout for Shedeur Sanders.
I think
so. I'm coming around to your side of this a little bit, actually.
Well, Dion yesterday, Coach Prime, said the only reason there's an issue with Shador's number being retired is because his last name is Sanders. And I don't know that Coach Prime accomplished the goal that he was trying to accomplish, because everybody said, yeah, if his name wasn't Sanders, no one would ever be talking about retiring his jersey. I do think Shedeur Sanders can prove a lot of people wrong, and I'm really curious to see if that does happen, if he has the skill and the talent and the drive to prove people wrong. Because
two of the people he'll prove wrong are sitting right here. You and me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can complete passes, but I don't know how he's going to handle the NFL level. So, all right. Final one. Chris, I know you wanted to talk about Aaron yesterday. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Aaron Rodgers. He still doesn't know whether or not he's going to play for the Steelers. So okay. He's got some family issues going on right now. He's going to feel that out. He's going to determine that, fix that, and then he'll decide.
Okay. What do you want
me to do? I don't know what the question is.
Well, you don't have to ask me a question. Let's just talk about this.
Okay, good.
If you saw yesterday, he was on with Pat McAfee. If you didn't see it, there's a lot of stories on this. You can, you know, read everything he said to every question. First, kudos Pat McAfee, who I don't give many kudos to, asked all the questions that we would like to ask Aaron Rodgers and don't get the chance to.
Well, he's paying him, so he better ask him.
Well, he did it, though.
Yeah,
so he didn't soft coat anything. And Aaron Rodgers said a bunch of stuff. He defended, you know, the fact that, he kind of made it seem like he was the victim of the Jets situation.
He did.
Which wasn't my favorite Aaron Rodgers moment of the day. You're not a victim, Aaron. You know, he goes, well, I flew cross country with my own money. And then they kind of blew me off. Yeah, welcome to the rest of the world, Aaron.
I know.
We are all going out of our way to try to get jobs, get relationships, get money.
Get ahead.
Get ahead. And oftentimes we are rebuffed without any, you know, fanfare at all. So, you know, this whole notion that I'm Aaron Rodgers and I deserve better, you know, treatment is not my favorite. So you can read about that and what the Jets said. And
well, here's what
Aaron Glenn basically told him to get the hell out of here because we don't really need a quarterback. And, you know, and Rodgers was mad because he flew. Well, he said he could have just told me that on the phone. But I don't look at Aaron Rodgers ever as a victim.
Aaron Rodgers was going to play victim no matter what they said. If they were going to walk in, if he walked in there and they're like, hey, Aaron, we want to celebrate you as we're shipping you out of town, he would have been like, that's offensive. I'm going to be offended by that. He said on Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers, This entire time, I haven't felt like I owed anybody some sort of decision at any point. This is my life. I said things are different now. My personal life is different. I have stuff in the inner circle that I'm intimately close to that's really important to me. I've been upfront with them about all that and said, listen, if you need to move on, if you need to do something, by all means, do it. Nothing but love and respect if that's the decision that needs to be made. There's been no deadline.
If that is all true, if it's all true, then I'm on his side in this case. He has said he's 41. He said there's things in his inner circle, people that are in some really bad, you know, situations that he's trying to help them through.
Which is great.
And he's got to take care of that before he decides. And what he's apparently told the Steelers and everybody else is, if you can't wait, then don't. I think that's fair. I hate to ever be on his side. But in this case, I agree with him. If you're the Steelers and you don't want to wait, then don't get into bed with Aaron Rodgers. You know, go in another direction. That's what the Jets chose to do, and that's what the Giants chose to do. The Steelers seem like they're kind of hanging around. Why? Because they don't have any better options.
Exactly.
Right?
But why he's going to get to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, he might, but he won't be the first player in the history to kind of get his way because of previous greatness.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
It happens all the time, and I don't think he's alone. I don't think he's – it doesn't sound like – although, again, I take everything he says with a grain of salt. I do.
Me too.
He could be on ayahuasca at the time for all I know.
I saw the video. I don't think he was on ayahuasca.
But, you know, I take everything he said with a grain of salt because obviously he's going to portray himself in the best light. Why wouldn't he? It's him.
Oh, he's a master at promoting
himself. He's very
good
at that. And he said, the Steelers want me. I liked met Mike Tomlin and the whole thing. And everything's
called DK a specimen.
He said, everything's good, but I'm not ready to make up my mind yet. So it's on them. And I would love it if the Steelers said, fine. Draft yourself a couple quarterbacks and tell Aaron to take a hike. And it sounds like Aaron wouldn't mind taking a hike.
I know that's
what it sounds like.
Yeah, when that happens, he's going to be angry.
If it happens, he's going to be critical and he's going to want his way back in because I don't think, like most athletes, he can step away from the spotlight that easily.
It's not going to be easy for him. Last year, remember when he said he had a vacation during spring training or during mandatory camps and he couldn't move it because it's just like he just wants to do what he wants to do.
That kind of thing was really something that I could not support him on.
No. It's a mandatory thing.
Once you are with a team and you've agreed to be with a team, that team now becomes more important than you.
Yes.
Well, he didn't in that case. But this is a different case. He's not with a team yet, and he's told the teams, don't wait. So it's up to them. They want to wait, they'll wait.
Sorry.
We're not done yet, are we?
I know I did the math wrong.
All right, stop the music.
I did. Can we play Illegal, though, real quick?
Okay.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
This is your Lars from the San Diego Padres.
You can hear the you.
The Padres play here. On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan, and Odyssey Sports Station.
A quick update on some baseball. I'm not going to talk about the Cub-Diamondback game anymore because you're tired of hearing about it. But it was crazy. If you're just tuned in, go online, look it up. Pay a special attention to what happened in the eighth inning. You're not going to see many eighth innings like that.
No.
Diamondbacks did lose in the end. That's good news for the Padres. The other story, Phillies Marlins tonight. Sandy Alcantara against the Phillies. Bottom of the first inning. Bryce Harper just hit a home run. And I've seen Schwarber. And I've seen, you know, other guys. I don't think I've seen one ever go that far deep into the second deck in Philadelphia before.
Really? Let me see.
So
this.
Look at the highlight of that when you get a chance. Harper hit one to the moon. In the bottom of the first inning, 2-0 Phillies over the Marlins.
Oh.
Did you see it?
Yeah, hold on.
It's already up online somewhere.
MLB just put it up. I want to put it up on the stream.
Okay, put it on the stream, and then if everybody watch on YouTube, watch where this ball goes. Because we've seen Schwarber hit him deep. And, you know, the one that hate to bring it up here, but the one Schwarber hit in the playoff against Darvish was
moonshot,
about as far as I've ever seen one, and it still is the longest one at Petco Park, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. This one looks further than that.
It does, but
I don't know what the official stat cast is on it.
All right, there we go.
All right, you can show it on the YouTube to the people. I want to look at it again just because it was something something to behold.
I got to do so much stuff to put a clip
just to
on
get
there.
A clip up on there on the YouTube.
But it's worth it because it's a long home run. So.
Yeah, this is pretty. Unless you're Sandy Alcantara's, cousin,
all right,
you're going to enjoy watching this. Watch how far this ball goes.
It goes all the way up.
Look in the second deck, and then look at the back of the second deck.
Yeah.
Way in the back.
It says 418 feet, but I cannot believe that that's true. If that's 418 feet, then Fernando's home run, I mean, remember it was only 406 feet?
We've talked about it. I don't think the StatCast home run distances are right. There's certain balls that get hit so far. Yeah, I don't know how they come up with these numbers. That ball, now, it was a little higher and it was coming down.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a Schwarber bomb goes out and keeps, look like it's going to keep going forever.
Correct.
But that was a long one.
That was. Bryce Harper, that guy.
All right, a couple of quick things. Padres, Astros, Sam Levitt will have updates on all this for you. But Jason Hayward was scratched from the lineup tonight. He was in the original starting lineup. Now he's replaced by Oscar Gonzalez. Some hamstring.
Knee soreness.
Thank you. Knee
soreness. You got
soreness.
Knee soreness, too.
I do. I have knee soreness, but, you know, I came to play anyway. With
See,
my
that's
knee
what
soreness.
We do. That's what we do.
We show. We post.
We post.
You and I post.
You know, Adam, I'm going to call Adam on Monday and be like, Adam, my hamstring kind of hurts. Can I have the next 15 days off?
Sore back. That'll get you 10 days. Yeah.
Yeah, not
Must
good.
Must be nice.
Not good at all.
Must be nice. All right, how much more time do we have to... I didn't prepare anything for this segment because I thought we were done.
I did, too. What are you doing this weekend, Chris?
I'm going to go to the movies tonight.
What are you seeing?
I'm a little... I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell me?
No, it's a foo-foo movie.
No, just say it.
Yeah, it's too foo-foo. Too foo-foo.
I don't even know what that means.
It means that, I picked it knowing that my wife will really like it.
Can you just say the name?
And I think I'll be okay with it.
Can you just say the name?
No.
I don't even know what movies are out right now, to be honest with you.
Sure. Good point. I'm also going to watch some more Black Mirror episodes.
Chris started watching Black Mirror.
You turned me on to that, and I watched my first one last night. Apparently, Joan is what?
Not... Joan is awful.
Joan is awful, yes.
I told Chris.
I watched that or chose that one is because my mom's name was Joan.
Oh.
So I was drawn to that title.
I love that show. It is weird. There are some episodes that are weird.
Well, I've only seen one, so I'm not ready to give a total review. But I think that it aims to be similar to The Twilight Zone.
Yes.
And after one episode, it's not The Twilight Zone yet. But I'll give it some more chances.
Jack says you are going to see Made in Manhattan.
Is that a new movie? No. That's like a 35-year-old
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it's old.
All right. Sammy Levitt's coming in. Padre pregame show. We'll be back Monday, but only for a short time. So don't be late Monday, 2 o'clock, to wrap up the Padres trip over the weekend. Tony, Scraby, it's Chris.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.